Hey, welcome to Christ United Methodist Church. No matter who you are or where you're at, whether you're up early or out late, we pray this message is right on time. Thanks for tuning in.
We'll see, but for those of you who are unaware of what this flame means and why it is that we wear red and why we sing songs about the descent of the Holy Spirit, you're about to get educated through our featured scripture lesson that is in your hymnal, in your Bibles, and obviously on your screen. I'm going to ask Brother Andy to lead us in this from the Message translation.
When the Feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then when they heard, one after another, their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, "Aren't these Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in our own various mother tongues?" Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs, they're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works. Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of it. They talked back and forth, confused. "What's going on here?" Others joked, "They're drunk on cheap wine."
It's the reading of the word of the Lord, written for a people of God, and we say together,
thanks be to God.
Andy did a much better job with the names of those cultures and representations than I would, which is why I assigned him that text this morning. I want to tell you a story of a recounting that renowned author and preacher Fred Craddock shares. He was somewhere, and he says he remembered the first day that he met this woman named Barbara Jenkins, and he says, "I'll never forget that day when Barbara Jenkins walked in the room. It was a reception of some sort, you know. I don't remember the occasion. There was a punch bowl and a bowl of salted peanuts and little mints and some of those little triangle sandwiches, you know. There was pimento cheese and tuna fish and ham. Really nice, but you had to eat a lot to make anything of it. Standing around, we're having a lot of conversation, but nothing really important. Could use some more rain. Yeah, need some more rain. It's been pretty hot, too. Cooling off, getting close to fall now. Hey, you watch the game?" "Yeah, I watched the game." And then Barbara Jenkins came in. There was something about the room that changed when Barbara Jenkins came in. I heard one person ask, "Who's Barbara Jenkins?" "That's Barbara Jenkins?" "Yes, that's Barbara Jenkins." See, Barbara Jenkins spends her time writing letters and making calls and going and seeing folk to make a difference in the way the law treats juvenile offenders. Night and day, 7 days a week, she worries the authorities to death. You enjoy doing that? Well, not really. You get paid? Are you on salary? No. Oh, you have children in trouble with the law and you want? No. Then why in the world? It's no fun. You're not making any money and none of your friends are doing it. To which she replied, I have to. Brothers and sisters, indeed, there is still something about the room that changes when someone powerful walks in, when the presence of someone powerful fills the place. And not powerful because of their fame, and not powerful because of their fortunes, and not powerful because of their figure, but powerful because of their fire. It's a strange thing in this world, in this day, to speak to someone who's so filled with the fire of God, to meet a person who's propelled by that kind of passion and that kind of purpose. These days, it's almost like talking to an alien. who speaks a different language, where you could begin to understand and yet you don't understand. And the story, Fred, in so many ways was saying, so what are you saying? You do what you do and you live like you live, not to get paid and not to get popular and not for the applause. But you're saying that you do what you do and you live like you live to provide for people? That's it? In the name of Jesus? You must be high. Or you must be drunk. Or both. In fact, that's what they thought. That's what some thought on the day that someone powerful filled the room. There must be some explanation. We understand, but we don't understand. Church, it seems from the beginning, people who were filled with the fire of God have that effect. Brothers and sisters, it'd be one thing if Barbara Jenkins, the woman we just read about, was a dignitary or an authority, but she wasn't any of those. She's very ordinary. And guess what? So are we. So are we. But something about the world and the rooms we enter change when it bears witness to one who burns bright with an ember in their belly, who lives and gives and loves and leads, not just because they want to or not just because they get to, but they have to. They know no other way to be. They know no other way to live. And brothers and sisters, it's not the fact that faith forces us to. It's just that the fire leaves us no choice. May we be a people who praise Pentecost repeats itself, especially in this day. May we be a people who praise that Pentecost repeats itself. May we be a people who praise not that the fire of God consume what's not right about the world and therein make our lives different, but that the fire of God consume all that's not right about us so that the rooms we might walk into might be different. Brothers and sisters, a crucifix and a fire mark our church. It's false advertising if a cross and a fire isn't found in its people. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
On behalf of all of us here at Christ Church, I want to thank you for hanging out and tuning in. Continue to check us out online, but better yet, we'd love to have you worship with us on Sunday mornings, starting at 8:30 a.m. in the chapel or 11 o'clock in our main sanctuary. Until then, may God bless you so that you can bless
us. Pastor Jake can laugh at himself. I'm glad that you can too with me. Friends, we're a connected people in a connected church, and we realize that by virtue of our connection, we do more than we ever could by ourselves together. We can do together what no freestanding church can do. We can do as a faith body, know what one person can do, and we celebrate our ministry of giving. If you're new among us, if you're a guest, don't feel compelled to give. This is an expression of our worship. It typifies who we are. It tells us a picture. It shows us a picture of who we are as a people, a spirit-filled people. So I want to ask the stewards to come forward for our ministry of giving as we worship the Lord in the giving of our tithes and our offerings. Let us worship.
Thank you, Pastor.
Almighty God, we recognize you as the beginning and the end and the source from which all blessings flow. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you fall once again on these your people and these your gifts so as to anoint us and our resources to redistribute and multiply and share so that the world around us might change. The rooms we enter might change. Not because we're so powerful, but the presence of the one who resides within us is and changes us first as a means of changing the world around us. Bless us as stewards to be a blessing, Lord, vehicles through which your mission, your ministry, and your great gospel is poured out into this world. Have your way over us and these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen, church. As we close out our time together for worship, I'm going to ask that you stand, you hold those flames high one more time as we sing Jesus, Thine All-Victorious Love on page 422. The verses might be unfamiliar, but the tune is certainly familiar as we sing. 422, lift those flames high.
Jesus, Thine All.
As our flame is carried out into the world, there's a point of instruction for those of us who are here. By all means, I'm going to trust that most of us, if not all, are going to stay for our luncheon that's downstairs waiting on us. There's some instructions about that. I'm going to ask that you all go downstairs. Feel free to go to the station to get your drinks and have a seat. And then we're going to wait on our choirs to get down. And we're going to ask they and their families to be served first. We can go down there and enjoy our time around the table. Let us pray over our food and then receive this benediction. Almighty God, we thank you so much for the gift of this day. We thank you for the strength that we find in our community and now the strength that we find in fellowship, Lord, that's even more nourishing than the food that we're about to consume. We're thankful for the hands that prepared the food and its bounty. We ask that it strengthen us and prepare us to be fitted disciples for you in this world. Have your way, great God that you are, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now receive this benediction, friends. A flame has no choice but to flicker. A spirit-filled church has no other option but to walk into the world and change the temperature. Amen. Barbara, gosh. There's a lot of Bettys I have in my family. Is that your sister Joellen? Hey, brother, good.
Hey! Give me five. I like that truck. And your dolly. Woo, that's a big one.
Hey.
Hi, Mitch.
What's up, dude? Have a good time? Excellent. Bet you did. I'm playing for you while you were there. He's done, yeah, as of yesterday. Finished last night. That's it. My sister, good to see you. Praying for your brother. Keep going.